Who wants to hear from God today? Yeah. You don't want to hear from me, and that's what we. I was praying with Debbie before I came, and it's like, God, you know, this Revelation series, you know, it's not like normal preaching. If you're not in this, God, we're going to miss the mark. We really need God's power to come. And so I'll tell you what, so me and Debbie were praying about that this morning, and then someone come up this morning and said exactly the same words, that God's going to speak to us. So a lot of this stuff is about how prepared you are to hear from him. Yeah, how much do you want to receive from God today? And so just ask, open your hearts and just to receive. Now, I forgot how you say your name, Nary? Lowly, that's Lally. It, Lowly. Lowly's going to read. Lally. Right, see, look, it's coming. It? You couldn't resist it, could you? You know what I mean? So how was it?
I don't want to disappoint you.
Yeah, Lowly, okay. Don't be fooled by the size. That's all I can say over there. Lao Lu is going to read this. Come on.
So this is Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. The seventh seal and the golden censer. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the angels rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake.
Let's give a round of applause here. Come on. Okay, so we're going to call this today the Bittersweet Gospel. And I don't know about you, but I love this apocalyptic writing, and because I believe it's such a beautiful way to communicate. We kind of don't understand it too much today. We don't hear people speak in that kind of way, but they would have understood it when this was first given. They would have been very aware of this kind of writing. So it's never to be understood for every little detail that you study each word that we do with prose kind of writing. It comes in a kind of set of visions. John, I want us to try and go there in the spirit. John said, you know, and suddenly I was in the spirit. And I want us to be in the spirit to receive all that God has got for us today, because John was shown something that was just impossible for a human being to convey in words. He saw something that God showed him, like a set of visions. This is what apocalyptic writing is like, a set of numbers that actually have meaning to them. He saw that metaphors that are coming that we're not to be, you know, not to understand in our minds so much as our emotions are supposed to be involved, that we're supposed to feel what is going on rather than every tiny detail. And when it was written, they would have read the book from the start to the finish, gradually catching some more of the scene that is being painted there, like an artist that is painting a picture where he puts the different colours on, and you haven't got a clue where it's going, but suddenly themes start to unfold. You start to see something, to see there's someone behind this, is actually going somewhere. And a picture is being built for us that actually shows us Almighty God, this Jesus Christ who came, died, and rose again, something of who he is right now, seated on the throne at the start, coming back at the end for his kingdom, and all that is going to go on in the meantime. This is what Revelation does for us, and we're to grasp that, get caught up in our emotions there, feel the way as we start to paint these pictures. And then as we enter in kind of chapter 8 and 9, it's the seven trumpets that are given out to be blown, and we've just seen the seven seals. And when we look at trumpets in Scripture mean that there's going to be some warnings heralded, or either that or it's salvation. And we're going to see both with these seven trumpets as we walk through them. And so the seven trumpets are seven judgments of God's wrath. And it's like, thank you that I've got to come and tell you guys about his wrath today. But someone had to get the short straw. But actually, when you get in there, there's a wonderful thing that kind of happens when we receive it in a good way. And so we look at these first four trumpets that are blown. We see hail and fire mixed with blood thrown onto the earth, and so that a third of the earth burns up with fire. I'm not going to go into every illustration, but look what's happening in Australia right now. Look at what's, you know, the world is heating up. A third of the world is going to be consumed by it. Then the great fiery mountain that is thrown into the sea, and is going to turn a third of it into blood. And then a third of the fishes of the sea die because of it. And then the star that is falling from heaven that comes into the waters of the world, and a third of the waters of the world become toxic. And then we see the sun and the moon and the stars that are hit, and all of a sudden a third of their light goes dark, and darkness comes onto the world. I will say about that, that it's speaking about darknesses that will be. We're going to walk into dark seasons. And as you look at the thing that's happening around the world, that corona thing, this is part of it. It's coming on the world that we see and we're part of now. But the message is clear from the first four straight off, is that God's warning us not to set our hearts on. Don't put your hope in created things. Why? Because they're all passing away. It's temporary. What you're getting here today is permanent. The word of God lasts forever. And that's what's important for us, not what goes on out in the world so much, not basing our life on how much money we've got, what position we've got in life, how big our house, car, all that stuff that people do in the world means nothing to us. If God wants us to have that, great. But we don't base ourselves and our lives on anything of this world, because it's condemned, it's going. But Christ in us and the word of God in us will last forever. Let's have an amen on that. Amen. Give me a chance to calm down a little. I just tend to get excited. I mean, I'll be honest with you, in studying Revelation, I was so fearful at first, and it really didn't make much sense at first. But as I've gone into it more, my life has been transformed more than any other book. The reality of my little 20 years left, 30 years if I'm lucky, and then I'm going to be with God forever. It's so real to me now. It's so real not to waste time on the things of this world. And it just carries you there. And it's like, wow. And so what if it all goes pear-shaped? So what if this doesn't go the way I thought it would? So it's like, I'm going to be with him forever. And that's what Revelation is supposed to do for us. And it certainly did for me. So I read it. You will be blessed. The Bible says that, or Revelation says that to us. Then we see the fifth trumpet. This is a lovely one. This one, demonic locusts rising up with human heads released from the bottomless pit. Are you getting there? Are you seeing this? That's what you're supposed to do. That's what they would have done when this was first read. They would have seen it, and it would have conjured up something. You know, they've come to torment the world, to sting us and hurt us so that we'd rather be dead than alive. And it's supposed to evoke this stuff in us. Rise it up in us so that we get some kind of idea. And then a sixth one is blown, and a great army is released with horses, with lions' heads that are going to kill a third of the earth. Wow. Now these things are going to happen. These things are coming to the earth, and we're seeing a lot of it now. We've seen the wars, Hiroshima, that kind of stuff, the tsunamis that have happened. Do you know what? Actually, as an aside, they're only coming to warn us of a bigger thing coming. There's something coming that's far worse than a tsunami, a corona disease, a world war, something far greater than that. They're warnings for that. But then you think to yourself, well, how can a God of love allow this to happen? And we don't. So we all like this fluffy, woolly idea of love, God of love, and he is a God of love. We know that. But actually, God is a just God as well. And so justice has to be done. That's why Christ died on the cross for our sins. He couldn't just let it go. Someone had to pay. But he loves us enough that he came and he died and took the punishment for us. But justice has got to be done. And when God's looking down, try to see it from, he's seated on the throne. You heard that in week one, two, three, no, last week maybe. That God is seated on the throne. And from there he sees that he is the Almighty, the one who's seated on the throne. Yeah, he looks down at us and we're worshipping idols. We're worshipping things made of stone and wood. And where the sin is in us, we do anything but follow him. We've had people phoning up this morning, can't come in because it's a bit windy out there. What is that all about? You know, I don't know what they're expecting me to say. It's like, shall I tell them the truth? Or shall I say, oh, you poor thing? Or I don't know. Look, that's the tension of being a leader, all right? Bit of wind, another aside. Do you know, I was reading something the other day about this lady in another country that was putting up where she was being raped every other day by the people, her captors. They broke her teeth. Why? You know why? Because she wouldn't renounce her faith. She wouldn't renounce her faith. She ended up coming out of it, not by renouncing her faith, but they let her go in the end. And when I hear of people phoning me up and saying, I can't come in because it's a bit windy, I think, are we worshipping the same God? Honestly. And as I said to Duncan this morning, it freaks me out. You know, it's like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. We've really got to be worshipping the same God. Anyway, so, but the thing with justice, okay, we find that very hard, okay, when we see these things happening around the world and we know God is a God of love. But the truth is that we've just read it, you know, that we want justice too, each one of us. It says here, verse 4 that was read out there, there's a surprising picture that comes. It says, look, the smoke of the incense of the prayers of the saints rose before God, and then an angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar, and then he threw it on the earth, and there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flames of fire, and earthquakes on the earth. And you see, get that picture. It's our prayers that rise up. And we all know that verse, but I don't think we know the second part of it, that what is added to our prayers is the fire of God from the altar. Then it's thrown onto the earth. And what comes there is so that our prayers form part of the justice that comes back. You know, we want that justice. You know, when we see another youngster that's stabbed where was it? That girl that was sitting in the playground and someone stabbed her to death. And it was an initiation process for a gang in London. What was that all about? We want justice for that girl. When we see that male rapist that was finally caught, not until he had raped nearly 200 guys. We want justice. When we realise that, you know, it's so safe in this country, yet 8 Christians die every single day around the world because of their faith. And there are 23 women every day either raped or abused around the world because of their faith in Christ. We want justice for that, don't we? Yeah. So what happens is when we pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, we're praying, God, will you come with your power and do something? Will you sort this out? And so our prayers go up and God's kingdom comes down, and we rejoice in the miracles. We rejoice in the favour and on all the blessings that God brings us. But also God's wrath comes down because of our prayers. And in the Old Testament, we see this. You know, is Egypt were abused by Israel abused by Egypt. God put up with it. He put up with it for years. And then all of a sudden he said, that's it. I'm not putting up with it anymore. And he came down and he crushed Egypt because of that. And we see it, you know, God stepped in. And we see that with the Roman Empire as well, where they were burning Christians and feeding them to wild animals. And God put up with it for a while. And then all of a sudden he crushed that kingdom. Was gone. And then we see apartheid in modern day. You know, we know what was going on out there. The blacks were second class, all that stuff. And God put it up with it for long enough. And then all of a sudden he stepped in and he finished. We saw judgment. So what's going on there? What's going on there? We see in Daniel chapter 2:44. Where from that time he saw what Jesus was going to do in Revelation time. That's our time now. What he was going to do. And he said this, that his kingdom, there will be a kingdom that will rise up, and it will crush. It's going to be an everlasting kingdom, and it's going to crush every other kingdom, everything that will oppose his will and his purpose on earth. The truth is that the king is coming back for the earth that he created. We heard it earlier, that was created good. Is here a glory for that? He's coming back. Was there a glory somewhere?
Glory.
And so although we find God's wrath very hard now, I want us to see this because it's really key, I think, anyway, is that one day that we will rejoice in God's wrath. Just as Israel did, you know, his wrath wasn't good for the Egyptians, was it? Water came in, crushed them, all that stuff. They weren't rejoicing at all, but God's people were rejoicing. And God's wrath is what's going to protect us for the whole of eternity, for all eternity. And so how do we know that? So because we have seen God step in to creation and see how he's dealt with his people and save them from oppression, save them, we know that our God is a God of love that will save us and help us, that he will keep protect us for all eternity. God's wrath will not let any sin, anything like that, come into heaven. We are protected forever. We are safe and secure with our God. And I think that's an amazing thing. And so in the end, we will rejoice at God's wrath. It will keep us safe forever. Chapter 10 says this, that John was asked then to eat the scroll. And you know, eat a scroll, it's going to taste like honey in your mouth, but then it's going to feel bitter inside. And so, you know, I'm not going to ask you to go home and start munching your Bibles. That's probably not a good thing to do. But it's not about that. It's about getting the Word of God in you. It's about not just reading it and all of a sudden you know it all. It's not like that. It's like you get it in, meditate on it, and then you receive the power that is in God's Word. Where are we going to go? So it is sweet. It's sweet and it's bitter. It's very sweet the first day we realise that God loves us, that he cares for us, that he has forgiven us and he accepts us for who we are. It's a wonderful time. It's a wonder that he knows your name. It's so sweet that there is a place in heaven for us, that his presence is upon us and is within us. And he fills our hearts again and again and again with his love. It's so sweet when we pray for somebody and we see that they get healed. It's so sweet when we see someone who's brokenhearted come in and they receive the love of God, the kindness of God into their heart. But mostly it's so sweet that we get to know that our God is so loving and caring. We get to know that he's kind and that he's a good God. It's as sweet as they get as we realize that he's our Father in heaven who loves us. But then comes the bitter side. It's bitter when we realise that God accepts me, but he doesn't approve of everything that I do or am. And so we realise that inside some things have got to change. Some things have got to be renewed. I mean, for me, when I first became a Christian, You know, it was like, I've got to stop getting drunk all weekend. Then it was like, I've got to stop sleeping around. He came and kind of gave me this list that I had to work through. I had to stop swearing. I had to stop bunging people money to get work. And I felt so good after about a week. I'd given it all up and I felt, you know, I've arrived. You know, me and God are like that and I've got it sorted. And that's how it was. But then about a week later, there was another list. And it was like, now you've got to make some of your relationships right. And he's like, really? And then you've got to forgive some people. And it's like, what, that one? Honestly, God, forgive. Do you know what they've done? And I've got... And then you've got to serve in the church. It's like, I work already, and now I've got to serve in the church. And then you've got to give some of your money. It's like, God, it's my money. And then God said, no, it's my money. And you just give a bit back. And then you've got to stop doing that gossipy, juicy, sharing them juicy bits of info around. I said, oh, God, love them bits. And, you know, and the thing is, it's like, so on this side of it, it looks bitter. I've got to give up all that stuff. On this side, once we've given up, the sweet side is we think to ourselves, why didn't I give all that up before? I feel so much better. And there's jealousies we have to work through, competition, pride, laziness. And the thing is this, that we all kind of trivialise our own sin. Okay, we think in our hearts, I'm not that bad. You know, God's not that bothered about my little sins, is he? But the truth is, God hates our sins. He hates it. And sin contaminates us. And our big need of today is to realise through revelation how bad our sin is. And remember this, is that unconditional love doesn't mean unconditional acceptance of all that we are. It just doesn't. I want to sort of show how that the effect that sin has on us. Now, I've got a lovely pot of Coleman's apple sauce here. That's lovely. Who likes it on their Sunday roast, yeah? Does anyone want to have a little taste? Anyone brave enough to have a little taste of that? Anyone? You want some over there? Yeah? Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. I'm just going to do something, okay? All right. Oh, no. What? Okay, so no. I just want to see whether you're breaking that. No. You know, why not? It didn't go up my nose. You get the message, though. It's like that one little bit of booger, or whatever you want to call them, goes into the pot and it ruins the lot. And that's probably all you're going to remember about this today. Is that, okay? But that's what it does. It ruins us inside. So it doesn't stop God's unconditional love, but our receiving of it is marred by the sin in us. So we've got to get rid of it. And this is what that part of Revelation is about. It ruins that. And so the purpose of Revelation isn't that we would know exactly the future and all that God is going to be doing there. Revelation is calling the church to war. It's a war, guys. It's two kingdoms, opposing kingdoms, working their way through at the same time. The kingdom of God is now in through Jesus dying on the cross, and the Spirit of God poured out upon us is working its way through the world right now, through us, through you and through me. And so there are two ways we have to fight it. We're at war. First of all, the sin in our hearts. And secondly, we need to fight sin and evil in the world. Whether it's at home, whether it's at school, whether it's at work or in the city, we fearlessly proclaim the kingdom of God, because the final judgment seat of God is actually coming. It's on the way in. And people need to know that there is forgiveness available, that God loves them, and that he is patient, not wanting anybody to perish. And so 56 million people die every year. Only a third of those know Jesus. So it's a little corona disease, and is it? You know, we feel for them. There's so many died, but 38 million people go off into a lost eternity every year. And guys, Jesus came in to seek and save the lost. And this is our job to now to go out there and seek and save them and let them know there is a way out. There's a way to be forgiven. And so when miracles happen today, it's like, we're, you know, it's the God of the Bible that is there. Let's go through chapter 11. Okay, chapter 11 speaks of this, of two witnesses. This is the answer. Okay, so the world so far, we've painted it. There's going to be woeful stuff happening out there. But then God says this, that the two witnesses will rise up and testify. They will testify to something. What is it? This is Jesus that we testify. These are two olive trees and two lampstands. We know that the lampstands is the church because we learned earlier. The olive trees produce oil for constant power for the lampstands to produce their light. And it says there that if anyone would harm them, the fire pours out from their mouth and consumes their foes. Does anyone want that gift? Does anyone want that? I'll give you a couple of words because I feel like the Lord gave me a couple of words earlier. And God's saying this, is that there are some here today that you used to work in the gifts of the Spirit. And that God, you're not using the gifts that God has given you. That somehow you've laid them aside and God wants to re-energize them and get you working in them gifts again. There are other people that you love to work in the, you'd love to work in the gifts, but you don't know what they are, that you would love to know. You'd love to be able to do that. And there are others that God just wants to increase your gifting to the next measure. Is anyone here like that? Anyone want to put your hands up if you want any of that blessing? I believe that God is going to pour out gifts of the Spirit and empower gifts of the Spirit through this message today. It's what he wants to do. But unfortunately, we have to focus and see what's inside before he is able to do that effectively. And that's what we're going to see. And so these two witnesses, that actually they're from the church, just so you know, they have power to shut the sky. And it's a reference to Elijah, where he could stop the rain. He could hold the rain back. And then there are two witnesses that could turn to the water into blood and strike the earth with plagues whenever they wanted to. Well, that's a reference to the 10 plagues of Egypt through Moses. And so it's saying that the God of the Bible is a God of miracles. We see it in creation. We see it through Exodus. We see it when he rose Jesus from the dead. And we see it in miracles today through us. And so the thing is, are you using the power? Jesus said, power will come upon you when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be my witnesses. We are the witnesses. These rise up. It's going to get dark. It's going to get worse. We're seeing it in the world now. How do we respond? Power to the church. Power to us. Gift for every person that's open to receive it and use it. Don't use it, you won't get it. If we're going to use it, and God is saying to us today, are you ready, church, to rise up and use the power that I have placed in you? Are you ready to use the giftedness that I've placed in you? We're not going to be able to change the woes that are coming on the world, but we can work in the power of God to overcome our part with the kingdom of God in our lives. Pray for the sick. See miracles happen. Get words of knowledge for people that will release them from bondages and darkness and release the captives, which is what this prayer clinic is going to be doing, I'm sure. Are we doing that, church? Because this is God's answer to the woes that are coming to the earth because of the idols and sin that is in the world. And God is calling us to that today. He's going to pour out. He's going to pour out them gifts as we pray in a moment. And so the question is to each one of us, are you at war? Are you part of that? Are you know the two kingdoms? We're part of the kingdom of God and the love of God. Are you in that? Because, you know, it's my advice is sow seeds everywhere with every single person. I just say a couple that, you know, it's a journey you take people on. But it's got to be a proclamation of the gospel. and a demonstration. The power is there to overcome. Without that, our words are flat and boring, and people won't want to know. We need the power of God today in this world we live in. John, a guy who I'm witnessing to, just a mate in the gym. Yeah, he was wrapped up in a religious life and just shared the gospel with him a few times in the sauna. He ended up accepting Christ, still in a religious way, and hard to come out of all that because of all his family was in it and all that. But his life had changed. It's on our Instagram account. You can see it there if you want to have a look at that. A year later, he's professing he doesn't get angry anymore and all that. Prayed for him in the middle of the gym, and fantastic, got 100% healed. He couldn't believe it. But he's on the way, on the journey to know God more. But it comes with power. We've got to use the power that God has given us to overcome the woes in the world. And then there's a local businessman, I prayed for him and the power of God came upon him. He was in some kind of Christian circle that they don't really believe in the Holy Spirit and all that. What he did after that, because the power of God came on him. And it's like, I said, what did you feel anything as we went through that? He said, I feel so hot. He said, and he got healed. And then I think it was, about 3 months later, took the gospel in. He asked Christ into his life. Now, he hasn't come to church yet. But his wife is like, she wouldn't even look at me before. She's going, can you get him to go to your church? He's changing. There's something happening. I know what's happened to him. And then there's another one, Nadine, who I met on Tuesday. And it was this guy, this really irritating guy. He was in the sauna, and he's doing a workout in the sauna. And I'm thinking, why are you doing a workout in the sauna? I'm trying to chill out, and he's doing all this kind of stuff and all that. And anyway, so he went out, and I said to this lady, it was me and her there, I said, what was that all about? And we both burst out laughing, right? But then all of a sudden, I think, oh, look at that. This is an opportunity. So I asked if she's a woman of faith and all that, and it tops up that she kind of believes. She went to church once, and she said, they look after your kids as well, don't they? I went, yeah, we do that. Come, you can come to ours. And so she's saying now she's going to come to church. And you think to yourself, well, where's the miraculous in that? The miraculous comes when we decide in our heart, I'm going to use every opportunity that God gives me to bring the gospel, to bring the power. And when we do that, these silly little things that happen that maybe even irritate us, like the guy working out in a sauna, all of a sudden it's a doorway for us to have a conversation and bring Christ in. Miraculous. And God wants to do that in your life. If you would realize that God would have a person every day in your life to bring the gospel in, that the power of God is at work amongst it all. But here we go. We're going to land it now. So who are you sharing faith with? Because the time is now. The time is short. And one day, the seventh trumpet is going to get blown. And 10:6 says this. There is no more delay. God is saying, I'm fed up with it. I've had enough of it. I've been patient long enough. I'm done with it and I'm coming. And from that moment on, it's done. It's over. No more mission. No more witnessing. No more sharing faith with your friends and your family. You cannot get them seats filled up anymore. It's done at that moment. When it comes, 11:15, it says the seventh trumpet was blown. The day had come. It is finished. Done. The kingdoms, it says, of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he shall reign forever. Verse 17 says this, that the Lord Almighty will take up his power and begin to reign. And then we'll see the judgment seat of Christ. And then the sheep will be separated from the goats, and those will be judged that refused him and didn't follow him. But the rewarded, we will be rewarded, those that have accepted him and followed him, received him. Chapter ends. On that day, the temple of heaven will be opened. And we will see the temple. And we will see God in all his glory and his might and his wonder and his power and his splendor there for us to see. And there will be a come on in for each one of us. The answer is, our God wins. Our God wins, and we know that now. So when we pray, when we do our stuff, we do it from victory. You know, all we do is our little battle. The victory is already won. We know it's already won. And we will see God as he really is, eye to eye, face to face. It's going to be a wonderful day. No more sin, sickness, suffering, ever. Just us with God for all eternity. Can I hear a glory to that? Can we please stand? And I really feel that right at this moment, can we have a little bit of playing or something? No, you're right. So, I believe that God showed me something, that who knows that he's moving about in this place right now. We learnt that earlier on with Revelation, that he is here. And what he wants us to do is empty our hearts of anything that would block his giftedness working through us, his power working for us in these days. And once he's done that, he's going to dish out these gifts and the powers that God wants to work in us. So let's put out our hands just to receive from him. God is looking into your heart right now, and mine. If you have never received Christ before, come and see me. I've got a little book that I'd love to give to you and help you with that. He's here for you today. He loves you. But for all of us, let's just look in our hearts and see what's there. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Picture the sin that is there. Our hearts are sinful beyond compare or mending, Jeremiah said. So it's for all of us. Probably all suffering in different ways with all these that I'm going to go through. So right now, Jesus, we see that you are here. You can see everything in our heart. And we renounce swearing, God, this morning. God, we renounce pornography this morning. We renounce anger this morning. We renounce jealousy and envy. By the blood of the Lamb, release us from it, Lord. Free us up from it, God. Release us from gossip and slander. Lord, from that competitive spirit. Lord, from being power hungry. We don't want that anymore. We don't want to be a Scrooge, Lord, in life. We want to be generous. Lord, we don't want to be a workaholic and make a God out of that stuff. Or alcohol, Lord. We don't want to be drunkards or on drugs. Or into adultery or timidity. Lord, would you take that all from us? Would you release our hearts? Renew us from all that, God. Renew us. Renew us. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is on people now. He's releasing people right now from things that have held you back. The giftedness that God has got for each one. We clean the heart out. That's what it's about. And then we receive. So right now, receive the gifts that God has got for you. Gifts of the Spirit, energize inside. Yes, the world is dark out there. We can see that. But you're to be a people of power this morning. A people filled with the presence of God and the power of God oozing out of you, overflowing into your homes, into your lives and the schools. And God wants that. He wants specific gifts for specific people. And he's going to be revealing to you what they are. But right now from heaven, he's pouring them out. He's energizing them now. Gifts of discernment being poured out right now. You're going to find you can discern so much better after today. Gifts of miracles, pour them out, Father. It's all, every good gift is from the Father above. And he loves us and he's pouring them out. Just receive it now. Receive him. Gifts of healing, gifts of wisdom, gifts of understanding, gifts of empathy, gifts of evangelism. Lord, pour them out. gift after gift, gift of musicianship and song. Oh God, let it come. Let's receive our God in a new way. Let him energize us for the days to come, because we're going to be a people of power, not trodden down by the woes of the world. We know it's going to happen, and we know we're going to win. We've already won. It's just our part to play in our day. Let's give a big shout to the Lord. Come on, Lord.
Yes.
Pour it out, God. We want more of you, Lord. More Jesus. Praise you, Lord.